Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, good evening, good evening, Blog Talk listeners. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. We thank you for just dialing in tonight and going into cyberspace and just coming on and listening to us. And we're just so happy that you're here with us tonight. We want to say good evening, first of all, to all our listening audience, and that you hope that you had a very good day because for a Monday, because everybody always thinks Mondays is bad, but Monday is a good day. So we just thank you so much for joining in tonight, and we want to give a shout out to Sister Beverly at Granny's Place for sponsoring my sister, my friend, and we want to give a shout out to Pastor Terry, who is her pastor, and a shout out to Pastor Morgan and to all of you, my sisters and brothers that are listening tonight on this great Monday night. So we're just here to come tonight to give you some inspiration, some uplifting, and some love and some information. Tonight we have Minister Randall with us again tonight, who's going to be sharing tonight with us on some most interesting topics as usual. So without further ado, we're going to go ahead and have her say hello and start her inspiration.
Good evening, Sister Lewis. Thank you for allowing this opportunity. We like to just do a warm love you, and thank you to Sister Beverly and all those who make this Monday night possible for Granny's Place and Blog Talk Radio. It's been a blessing to so many listeners across the Dallas-Fort Metroplex and other states as well. So I would just like to commend you, Sister Beverly, and all those that are connected to this ministry, to this effort that make this possible. And I definitely want to thank God for the Ladder House and Dr. Shelton Carter, who helped me to come on and share by way of the knowledge and impartation and word of revelation that we're receiving through this ministry. So it's a pleasure to be with you on tonight. So I thank God for the opportunity. Tonight we're going to be talking from the book of Joshua as well as the book of Numbers on tonight. And I wanted to just share a little bit before I go into the talk that what led me to where I am on tonight. As believers and people of faith and confessing our faith and sharing our faith and confessing Christ, there's a common trend that I've noticed among the men and women of God is that we have a very, very hard time taking possession of things that rightfully belong to us. And I sit back and I just watch and I hear the different things that believers say. Sometimes we can be very passive in our approach to things. And there's areas of our life that God does not want us to be passive about. But we feel that, you know, being meek and passive is the way to go. And so there's all these promises and there's all these things that are promised to us, and we sometimes miss out on what God has for us, and we settle for window shopping when God says that we can have so much more. And so I was studying, and what God led me to was give me my mountain. And this was the story of Caleb. Caleb was a man, when he first introduced to us in the Bible, in the book of Numbers, he was a very young man. But over time, when he asked for his mountain, Caleb had aged. He was 85 years old at this time, as recorded in the Bible, but he never gave up. So in the book of Joshua, around the 14th chapter, when we begin to read, we learn that Israel had been involved in the business of claiming the promised land for quite some time. We know that they had wandered in the wilderness, and they had been engaging in all types of battle. And they had been victorious. And that they also had went through a period of rebellion. And then, along around Joshua, I believe the 12th chapter, here comes this 85-year-old gray-haired man in the midst of them. And Caleb steps forward, and he claims his inheritance. 85 years old, he claims it's his inheritance. And Caleb, when I looked at Caleb and studied the story about him, he reminded me of myself. Caleb was a man that was not satisfied with the ordinary, but he wanted all that God promised him and all that God had given him. And a lot of times in this Christian walk, we read the promises of God, and we understand that God's word is true, and the word of God says that heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will remain the same. But yet we settle for these mediocre lives. When God said he comes, that we may have a life and a life more abundantly, we settle for a so-so life. just enough to get by, where just me, my four, and no more. And if I'm paying my bills and I'm able to keep a roof over my head and I have a little gas in the car and I'm able to pay this mortgage, then we're just we settle and we decide that we're just fine. Not realizing the scripture that goes further said a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. So with all these things said, it just led me to wonder and it led me to evaluate and get into the word about God's promise. And God saves us and he promised us that we can have a life of victory. He says that we can have an intense spiritual joy. But rather than claim what's rightfully ours, we choose to live in the spiritual wilderness. We choose to live defeated and depressed. And as a result, we miss out on the things like peace, joy, fellowship, power, and the glory of God. And so we're, as Christians, I sit back and I'm watching, and we all have been guilty of window shopping. There's nothing wrong with window shopping, but if you don't have to window shop, why would you window shop? And I was reading a story, and the man asked his wife, he goes, why do you call it shopping when you never buy anything? And she says to him, well, why do you call it fishing if you never catch anything? As believers, we need to do more than window shop with God's promises. We need to appropriate those promises and claim them in our lives. And this is what we read when we study Joshua 14, the 14th chapter, the 6th through the 14th verse, and it talks about the story of Caleb. Now, we may ask the question, when Caleb steps up, he said, give me my mountain. And those who have not studied the Word of God have taken time to get revelation of the Word. Mountain, they saw some, I've heard this described as a bad thing, but it was not a bad thing. He was not saying, give me my mountain to climb. He was not saying, give me my burden. No, that's not what he was saying. But it translates to, give me my hill country. Give me this land that's been promised to me. And Caleb stands before the leader of God's people, and he demands this. He says, give me my mountain. That's what he says. He boldly proclaims, give me my mountain. He stands before the leaders. He stands before Joshua. And Moses is going on, and he says, give me what rightfully belongs to me. Give it to me. And I like to pose a question. How many of us can stand boldly and know that we are entitled to what God desires for we to have, and we stand boldly to say, give me my mountain. Give me my inheritance. Give me my help. Give me my wisdom. Give me all the things that God's word says I'm entitled to by being a joint heir to him. And so the question is raised, now, why did Caleb feel that he had the right to stand there? Why did Caleb feel like it was okay for him to stand before these leaders and say, give me my mountain? If we go back and we study the word and we go back into Numbers, Moses was given instructions on why he was still on the scene. And so as they were looking to go in and take over the land, he was asked to choose a certain number of 12 men, and he picked these men to go in to be spies. And he picked one person from every tribe. And Caleb was from the tribe of Judah. And he was the one that was selected out of for this tribe to go into spy. And this is all found in Numbers 13, 4 through 15. So Moses gives them the instructions. So they spied on the land for 40 days and returned to give the report. And they brought back items from the land, and it showed that this land that they had went to spy on was incredibly abundant in food and resources. But 10 of the spies said it flows with milk and honey, but there are giants in the land. So out of the 12 that went in, 10 of them came back and said, yeah, it has everything that we need. Yeah, it flows with milk and honey. There's all this great land. There's all this great abundance, but there are giants in the land. And we seem to ourselves like grasshoppers. So we seem to them. So these spies said, it's wonderful land, but we can't conquer it. The people were in an uproar. They thought it was good, but no, we can't conquer it because it's too great for us. And so we choose to settle here. And sometimes we find in our Christian walk that we can be the same way, where God has said, go check this out. This is the home that I have for you. This is a job I have for you. This is the ministry that I have for you. This is the good life I have for you. This is the wife I have for you. This is the husband. I want you. I see two boys and two girls in your future, and I'm giving you a 5,000 square feet home. And so we go look, and we look at the price of it, and we look at the area, and we come back just like those 10 spies and say, yeah, I really like the house. I really like the car. I really like the office. I really like the idea of being in good health. I really like the idea of being cancer-free. I really like the idea of this huge place with a picket fence. I really like the idea of a ministry that spreads his word all across the world, that is on Skype, and you can connect through to Periscope, and we have live streaming. I really like the idea of that. It all looks really great. But the giants are just too big, and to all those great things that you told me that I can have, and you wouldn't show me something that I could not have, it is just, it's too big. It's too big for me, God. So I will just stay here in this apartment. I will settle for being by myself. I will continue with my treatment. I will continue just to share with these one or two people, because even though it seems really, really good, and it's flowing with everything that I ever dreamed about, it has everything that you ever showed me, God, it's too big. And I don't think I can conquer all those things. But Caleb, he quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go at once and occupy it, for we will be able to overcome it. So Caleb, he was just the opposite. He believed that even though the giants were huge, that they had the skill set and that God was with them, and they can go in and conquer all these things. In spite of Caleb's plea, the people rebelled against Moses and Aaron, and they decided to return to Egypt. They rebelled, and they were like, we'll just go back to familiar. We'll just go back to our ordinary, straining, living from paycheck to paycheck, getting up, not feeling good, going to church with two or three people here, having to fund our own ministry because there's not enough revenue to make things happen, having to have our kids come out of college in financial aid debt because we didn't believe God for grants and we didn't believe God for scholarships. We would just go back to what we know, because it's easier to go back to what we know than to face our giants and to conquer and to walk in what God has for us. We would prefer just to window shop. I really love that Louis Vuitton purse, but I would just continue to take pictures of it and keep pictures in my phone of it and send it out to all my girlfriends and tell them that I really like it and just say I will never have it because it's too big for me. And Caleb, he pleaded with the people in Numbers 14:6-9 not to rebel, but instead trust God who had promised to give them the land. The people then turned on Joshua and Caleb and tried to stone them. But then God, he intervened. The glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of the meeting to all the people of Israel. God threatened to destroy the entire nation of Israel and start all over with Moses. Only Moses' plea to God persuaded him to spare the people. God then declared at this time, he said that you will wander in the wilderness for 40 years until everyone in the nation of Israel over the age of 20 has died. So because they were afraid to go into what God had promised, because he already promised it to them, and we know that God doesn't go back on his promise, they refused to trust God. They refused to trust God. And so because they refused to trust God, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And everyone in the nation of Israel over the age of 20 died. But then God makes a startling statement. He's in verse 24, he says, but my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring him into the land which he went with his descendants shall possess. Of all the people of the nation of Israel, only Joshua and Caleb were spared. So out of all those people who were of age, God only spared Joshua and Caleb. Why did he spare them? Because they had a different spirit. Caleb had a different spirit. This is why Caleb was able to make a bold request, and God, because God had promised him that mountain to him 45 years earlier in the wilderness, and he was ready to take it. God granted Caleb's request, and Caleb and his people drove out the Anakim, and they conquered Hebron and the surrounding hill country and that had been promised to him by God in those earlier years. So there are some things that Caleb brought to the personality that he brought to the scene that the other people did not have. He was not going to stop at anything. Caleb was committed. He was committed. He knew what God had said. He knew the promises of God. He believed and he was committed because he knew that God's word was true. He was confident and he was courageous and he was a conqueror. So he stood there and he said, give me my mountain. And a lot of us, we have done what God has told us to do. When he told you to stay, you stayed. When he told you to go, you went. When he told you to give, you gave. When he told you to start, you started. When he told you to stop, you stopped. When he told you to believe, believe. But when it gets to the part where we need to say, give me my mountain. That is where we lose hope. That is where we become faint. That is where we lose courage. That's when we lose our confidence. And why is that? Why is it so hard for the men and women of God to be great, to be what God called you to be, and accept that God did not call you to just live a so-so life, to accept that God did not call us to struggle, that he did not intend for you to wander in the wilderness for 40 years? He clearly said, this is what I want you to have. This is what I have for you. And so I'm not sure who connected tonight, but Sister Lewis, that's the question I want to pose tonight. Why is it that we can trust God with the little bitty small things, but when he says, I have houses that you don't have to build, I have vineyards that you don't have to plant, I'm the one that heals thee, that I will give you favor before men, I will make your name great before men, that the wealth of the sinners is laid up for the just, that above all things I wish you prosper and be in good health, that I want to give you wisdom to get wealth, that I want a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. Why is it so hard for us to give me my mountain?
Wow.
Why do we struggle with that? And that's the question I want to pose tonight, because I've been sitting here thinking about my life. Why is it so hard for us to be great? Why is it so hard for us to accept the fact that we are a royal priesthood, that we are a chosen generation, and that we should be the head and not the tail, that God has called us to be lenders and not borrowers, and stand firm and to reclaim what God has promised and say, give me my mountain? So I'm going to pause there, and I want to pose that question if anyone's connected. What is stopping you from saying, give me my mountain?
Well, Minister Randall, it's just you and I right now tonight, so I'm going to attempt to answer that in how I feel that about the question. Looking back, and you know we're creatures of habit, and we go back. We always want to look back on the things that's happened to us. When we step out, I think it's fear. To me, it would be fear of the unknown, of the failure, of the what's gonna come next. Am I gonna fall into a trap if I step out on this faith and do this? Although we say we have great faith, we say that we trust God, but it's always that fear, because I'm saying human nature. It would be only human nature that you anticipate it failure. So that's my answer, which has been my answer up until the last couple of years. But the more and more I learn, and more I truly trust God, I've been able to step out and get some things that I want, that I've asked for, because I'm the one that's always say, you have not because you asked not. And when
that
I ask
so
and ask earnestly, ask God for what I need, and not it's just not a want, and it's something that would help me glorify him, and he always come through. The bigger things, that's what I fear sometimes, but lately I haven't asked anything real, real big, so because God has blessed me with the home, and God has blessed me to have the things that I need. So far, so I haven't asked for any great things, but that would be one of the things that I would think. Or maybe it's just fear and intimidation.
Sister Lewis, I think you're so right. Now, as we recall, when the 12 spies came back from Canaan, 10 of them said, it's a great land, but we can't take it. At the same time, two of them, Joshua and Caleb, said, yes, we can. God had already promised them that they could have it. But they let fear override what God promises.
Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons that Caleb was confident that the land could be conquered was that he had a different spirit. His spirit was different than the other people. You know, what does that mean? The 12 spies had a spirit of fear and trembling. They let the size of the opponents cause fear to come upon them. So fear came in, and they forgot all about God's promise. So when fear comes in, it makes us forget what God said. And that's why we know that fear is not does not come from God, because the Word of God tells us that God has not given us the spirit of fear. Why doesn't he give us the spirit of fear? Because the spirit of fear makes us forget the promise. All they saw was the land of giants. All Caleb saw was a beautiful land and the opportunities it presented. So Caleb's different spirit was a spirit of courage based on faith. And he put his faith in action by saying that, yeah, I know that they're huge, I know that they're big, but I believe what God said and what God promised us, and I'm all for just going here and taking over. I'm all going from here and seizing this opportunity. Just like when we look for better jobs, we have a tendency to look for jobs that are at the same pay that we're at and the same skill set. We don't have the courage to look for a job that's paying more or that will stretch us, because we don't trust that God can give us what we need to be efficient in that role if it's not something that we're familiar with. So we stay with familiar. If we stay with familiar, we never get the opportunity to get our mountain. We never get the opportunity to walk in everything that God has for us, so we live mediocre lives. And that's why so many great ministries never go that were destined to be great never become great, because no one ever took the opportunity to trust God wholeheartedly and let their faith replace their fear. Likewise with careers and settling, we've all been guilty of doing it, where we go into this car place and we look at the cars, and you really know that you want that Jaguar. You really believe, and you know that you prayed about it, and God showed you that black Jaguar and with the black leather seats and the black rims. You loved it. And God showed you that you had a dream about it. And God said that you are my daughter, you are my son, you shall have the best. So we go into the car lot and we look and we like, oh, I really like that. I don't know, because this could happen and that could happen. Okay, I'll take the Toyota Camry. That's more economical. It's more economical. So if I lose my job, then I'll be okay. I can pay for this working at Walmart. These are the things that we say we think it's God, but it's really the trick of the enemy, because he never wants us to be more than just normal. He never wants us to be more than just mediocre. He never wants us to be great. He wants us to stay ordinary. But Caleb was not satisfied with being ordinary. He wanted all that God said that he could have. He had the same spirit that David had in 1 Samuel 17 when he faced Goliath. For days, Goliath had challenged anyone from the army of Israel to fight, all 9 feet of him. Everyone looked at this giant, and then they looked at themselves, and like the 10 spies, they were grasshoppers in their own sight. The 10 spies were afraid because they compared themselves to the giant and knew that didn't understand that they could defeat them, that they could defeat him. And you know what? They were right. They couldn't. They were fearful, because if you have fear, you will be defeated. But Caleb and David saw giants and compared them to God. And that's what we need to do. This is how we are able to say, give me my mountain. Because when we face our giants, we should not be comparing our bills to us. We should not be comparing our illness to us. We should not be comparing where God wants us to go and the ability to go out and get wealth to us. But we should be comparing it to God, because God is our help. Yeah, we can be defeated, but God can be defeated. Caleb's confidence of victory did not come from the power of positive thinking or from a glorified exaggeration sense of self-worth, but it came from his faith in God. He was not saying that I'm all of that in a bag of chips. He wasn't saying that I'm all powerful and I'm all knowing, but he said that my God is. And when in the scripture, when they asked when Moses went, he said, who should I tell him that who sent me? He said, tell him that I am sent you. Why did he say I am? Because he said, I'm everything that you need me to be. So you can't say I am your provider, because I'm much more than your provider. I'm your healer. I'm your protector. I'm your provision. I am everything that you need me to be. So it wasn't just this positive thinking thing where he was like, well, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can, or I'm all of that because I'm Caleb, because I'm strong and I'm courageous, and out of my whole tribe, I was the one picked to go down. No, that's not the attitude that he had. He was not doing this in his self-work, but it was his faith in God, and he put his faith in action, because faith without works is dead. Paul may have been thinking about Caleb and David when we're told in Timothy 2:1-7, that God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and self-control. And self-control. God uses this phrase to declare Caleb's complete faithfulness. He was faithful. He never gave up. He stayed committed to the task. And not only was he fully faithful, he fully followed God. So God said, because Caleb fully followed God, everyone else that is over the age of 20, you will not inherit the promise. But because Caleb had a different spirit, and some of you connected tonight, some of you will hear this message, you have a different spirit. You're not like everyone else. You're walking into your meetings with ideas. You're going into your homes with ideas. You're going into your ministries and the things that you're connected with different ideas. And you're saying, we can raise $1 million. And everyone else is saying, there's not enough people to raise $1 million. You're saying that we can host this conference and it can be done in the spirit of excellence. You're saying that this Reaper's Crusade is going to be first class. It's going to be done in the spirit of excellence. You may be the only person saying that. And everyone else may be saying, it's too big. It's not enough time. But your faith is not in you. It's not in your ability. Your faith is in God. And the God that we serve, he is I am. He is everything that we need him to be. And if he's called us to work and he's promised us certain things as it relates to our lives, as it relates to our ministries, as it relates to our families, we have to get to the point where we can knock on the door and say, okay, give me my mountain. And what gives me the right to say that? Because, God, when you told me to teach the word, I taught the word. When you told me to sow, I sowed. When you told me to get up in the middle of the night and pray at midnight, at 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, I prayed. When you told me to intercede for the man of God, for the woman of God, to cover them in prayer as they went through the things they were going through, Father, I did what you said. When everyone else was saying it can't be done, I persevered and I pushed my way, even sometime when I was the only person showing up. To make sure that I did what you called me to do, I did it. And so because of that, men and women of God, I have the right to stand here. You have the right to stand and say, give me my mountain. Mm. Give me my mountain. It's not being cocky. It's not being disrespectful. He promised you those things, and so he's waiting for us to stand and say, give it to me. God, give me my mountain. Give me the things that you said I could have because I fully understood you and I fully followed you. And because I had a different spirit, even when the obstacles was against me, even when I was standing alone, even when there was no one else there believing, even when I looked like to everyone else I could look foolish because you're the only one standing there saying, we can do this. Yeah, we can do it. Yeah, we can do it. And everyone's laughing. Everyone's shaking their head. But you're still saying, yeah, we can do this. We can pull this off. This is going to be great. That's what gives you the right to say, give me my mountain. You follow God fully. You were confident. Well, everyone else was saying, no, 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 we can't do it. This marriage won't work. I'll give them 2 months. You stood on God's word when he said, that is your wife, that is your husband. And you stood by him, and you labored. When everyone else said that you should go, God said, stay. And you fully followed the Lord. And you were confident. Every time you went to go pick that child up from jail, you would say, get in the car, preacher. And everyone was like, why did she keep calling him a preacher? She just got him out of jail. You were confident that God, what God showed you that what he was. Every time you had to go to the crack house and look for that relative, and you say, come on, let's go to church. Every single time, because you stood on what God said. You trusted God for everybody else. Caleb was not only confident, he was persistent, and he was patient. It took 45 years for him to be able to stand and say, give me my mountain, give me my land, give me my hills. And during that time, Caleb never gave up his hope, never gave in to despair, and he believed it, and that settled it. He did not know when God was going to fulfill his promise, but he knew that he was going to do it. So for 45 long years, filled with hardship, debt, Caleb kept himself ready that whenever God was ready to give him the land to him, Caleb would be ready to take it. Whenever God was ready. So men and women of God, this is our season. And God is ready to give us our land. He's ready to restore our families. He's ready to restore our health. If he wanted you dead, he would have took you out when you were in the hospital and the doctors had gave up. When the doctor says that there was no way, when they said, I've gone as far as I can go. If he wanted you, he could have taken you then. But he didn't. He left you for a reason. Why did he leave you? Why has everyone else went on and you're still here? Because you fully followed the Lord. And he said, because you fully followed him, daughter, son, I am sparing you because I want you to have what I said that you would have. I want you to be able to stand and say, give me my mountain. Give me my mountain. Give me my mountain. Through God's help, Caleb was able to conquer the inheritance which God had promised him and take it for his own. There's so many things that God has promised you tonight. Peter talks about it in 1 Peter 1 and 4 when he describes it's an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiable, and unfading. Heaven is our promised land, our land flowing with milk and honey. Yeah, that's all true. But before we see the promised land, we have to face our giants. And there's things here on earth. Our kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So those things that have been declared in heaven for you, woman of God, for Sister Beverly, for Sister Lewis, for Sister Porter, for Sister Janice, for everyone that's connected, those promises are yours. Why are they yours? Because you fully followed the Lord, and you had a different spirit about it. You could have thrown in the towel. You could have walked away. You could have said, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm sick of this. I'm just not going to do it. You can find somebody else to do it. I quit. But you did not. When all the different things came up in your life, from death to divorce to illness to financial hardships, you could have easily just walked away, but you didn't let fear come in. When fear came knocking at your door, you sent faith to answer it. You didn't send fear, you sent faith to answer the door, and that's why you're still standing. And because you're still standing, God's saying that he wants to give you your mountain. He wants to give you the promises, the inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. These are the things that belong to you. Our giants are not physical. They're not physical. But they are powerful. But like Caleb, we must have a spirit of courage, which is founded on our faith in God. Faith speaks what it believes. I believe that God has positioned me to be a kingdom financer, a kingdom builder, that I will be able to advance the kingdom of God. I believe that. So therefore, my faith speaks what it believes, so I can be able to sow into this ministry, to be able to help fund this ministry, to be able to fund this initiative, to be able to give here, to give there, to push those ministries that are out there doing the work for God. That is what he called me to do. So I believe that he's called me, so my faith believes that. So my faith can say this time next year I will be able to give $10,000 here. I'll be able to sow into the food pantry. I'll be able to sow into the fund that helps pay light bills and water bills and gas bills for single mothers who are between jobs, because my faith speaks what it believes. Or do I say, well, that's too big for me? What can one little person like me do? How can I impact 10 people? So I'm just going to go back to what I know, close my door, sit here and just read my Bible to myself. If I get the opportunity, if someone asks me to share a word with them or speak into their life, I will if I'm asked to do it, because that's just too big. Or maybe they'll reject me. Maybe they won't receive me. Or even worse, maybe God really didn't say that. We have to conquer those giants when those things come. Through the Bible, we're given examples of complete, uncompromising, and unending faith that brought victory to those who had it. So we must walk in faith. We must be willing to do our part. God has promised the land to us, but we must be willing to fight for it. We have to be willing to fight for the things that God has promised you. What has God promised you today? What has he spoken into your spirit for years and years and years that he said that you can have? And it's 40 years later, it's 20 years later, it's 10 years later, and you still can't get it off of you. You still can't. You're trying to forget about it. You're trying to say it's too late. And, well, maybe he really didn't say that, but it's just staying with you because he really said it. But as we're being patient, we have to be persistent. We will receive the promise of God if we never give up, if we never give up hope, if we never give in to doubt, if we never get into despair. If we do these things, we too, like Caleb, can claim the promised land of our own. What has God promised you? What does he have for you? What has he spoken in your life? What has he said is yours? Caleb climbed the mountain and defeated the giants, and he claimed his possession. The name of the place Caleb inherited was called Hebron. This means fellowship. Caleb refused to quit until he obtained everything that God had for him. He refused to stop until he obtained a place of fellowship with God. This needs to be our battle cry today. We must refuse to give up or shut up or be held up until we have stood up, lined up, read up, prayed up, confessed up, stored up, spoke up, looked up, and filled up everything the Lord wants to give you. We ought to settle for nothing less than a place of perfect fellowship that God has promised you. We shouldn't settle for anything less. It should not even be an option for us to say, I'll settle for that. And you're still not happy because you know why you're not completely happy? Because you're settling for life less than what God has promised you. You settled. You settled in your ministry. You settled in your career. You settled in the homes that we select, the vehicles we select. You decide to go to San Antonio when you know that you've been wanting to go to London your whole life. You wanted to go to Paris, France, but you settled for Paris, Texas, not realizing that there's probably only a $1,000 difference in the vacation from between Paris, Texas, and Paris, France. You chose to go to Miami instead of going to Spain because in your mind you thought that Miami was more doable than Spain. What about you? Have you entered your Canaan and possessed your land? Or are you still wandering in the wilderness of defeat? It's God's will that we walk in victory. It's God's will that we walk in his power. There will be trials. Yes, there will be. God had a flood for Noah. He had a fire for the three Hebrew boys, a lion den for Daniel, a cake for the widow that came across Jesus. But there was victory in the midst of every trial for these. And there was victory for you as well. There is victory for you. Where are you in your walk to claiming your Canaan? Where are you in your walk to saying, give me my mountain? Are you strong enough? Are you courageous enough to stand before God and enter into your Canaan? Or are you still just going to struggle and wander in your wilderness from day to day? I choose to claim it. I choose to say, give me my mountain tonight. God has a place of peace and power for all of us. But we must be willing to claim our possession. It's not for the faint of heart. It's not faith-hearted that you have faith. So tonight, I want to just encourage you to come claim your Canaan. Stand tonight and say, Lord, give me my mountain. Give me the things that you have for me, those things that have been settled in heaven. I position myself and I want those things, God. I know that there may be trials. I know that I may have a flood. I know I may have a fire. I know I may be cast in the lion's den. I may even be like the widow with the one cake, the meal, and that came across Jesus. Then it may even be me. But I know that through you I can do all things. I know that through you I can do anything. And I know that your word never fails. And I know there's victory in every trial. Because every trial in life thus far, whether I was pursuing my Canaan or not, there have always been victory. When the doctor said they'd done what they can do, there was victory. When the mortgage company said that we're foreclosing, there was victory. When the car people came and said that, no, we can't approve you for that loan, there was victory. When the job said you didn't qualify for the job, there was victory. They ended up calling you back for the job anyway. When they said there were better candidates, there were victories. In your childhood, when those people spoke things into your life and said, oh, you're skinny and you this and you that, and no man would ever love you and treat you right, there was victory. God sent you the perfect man for you that loved you better than you've ever been loved. Those who said you would never have anything, that you would never mount to anything, that broke your spirit, there was victory. The same God that gave victory in those circumstances is the same God that has victory waiting for you today. On this day, May 23rd, 2016, victory is waiting on you. God is just waiting for you to stand and say, Lord, give me my mountain. There was victory when the doctor said you would never conceive, that you wouldn't be able to have children, that you wouldn't have a child, that the child would not make it. There was victory. There was victory. When he said that you would never get off drugs, that you'll be strung out the rest of your life, that no program will work for you, there was victory. There's a vast difference between promise and possession. God promised Israel the land, but they had to possess it before it became theirs. So God has promised you so many things, and he hasn't changed his mind. God has victory for you tonight. That is his promise. That promise must be actively pursued and possessed before it will ever become your reality. So on tonight, you can choose to keep looking in the window when they're shopping. You can choose to sit on the internet for hours after hours just going through catalogs, saying, one day I would love to have that, and I would love to have this. I wish I could afford this. I wish I could afford that. You can set up your TV day after day and watch all the ministries flourish, and you can watch them reach the entire world, third world countries. You can sit and continue to look at all the people in the secular world going on vacation, going on islands, buying their own islands, and sit back and just wish. Or you can stand tonight and say, give me my mountain. What will you do tonight? Will you continue to just look from the outside, staring through the glass? Or will you be brave? Will you be courageous enough? Will you be committed? Will you be confident? Will you be a conqueror and say, give me my mountain? I pray that the lesson that we've shared tonight has been a blessing to you. I pray that it builds your commitment. I pray that it builds your confidence. I pray that it builds your courage. And I pray that it makes you understand that you are a conqueror, and that it's God's desire to give you what he planned for you. He's waiting for you to possess it. You can't send someone else to do it. Only you can do it, because it has your name on it. So, Sister Lewis, I thank God for you, and Sister Beverly, and the Blog Talk Radio, who allowed us the opportunity tonight. Again, we thank God for the Ladder House Network, who has just been so awesome in teaching the Word of God and bringing the Word of God to life. And so I give it back into your hands at this time. If there's any questions or comments, I'll be glad to answer. So at this time, I'm going to give it back into your hands.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Minister Randall, for that inspiring, uplifting talk tonight, claiming our inheritance, just as Caleb did. I've learned that I can do that, that it's up to me to do it. You know, so many times we fear of claiming what God has for us because of past, as I said before. But if you don't have the faith to do it, why aren't you? Okay. God said it's yours. He has given you the promise. So we can do that. Thank you for that. Thank you for reminding me that God said it, and I can have it. That's good to know. And hopefully our listening audience tonight, they're listening by cyberspace. I had my mom-in-law on a few minutes ago. She was wanted to get in on the conversation, Mother Hill, but she said she started coughing, so she just hung up. But she said she did enjoy what you were saying, Minister Randall, and she received all of that. She's claiming her health because, you know, she does have some health issues going on right now, but listening to you, she's going to claim them and get out of her little party. So thank God for that word. Thank God for you inspiring her tonight. I thank you for coming on tonight at such short notice. You know, you just always amaze me because you're always ready and faithful to the Lord and doing his job. So I really appreciate that. And I just thank you so much. Thank you.
God bless
you. And thank you. If there is nothing else, or if we do you have any announcements about the Ladder House that you want to express tonight, or just give us a little synopsis on the Ladder House for those who may be listening?
I just want to add, the Ladder House Network it was founded by Dr. Shelton Carter. And the headquarters for the Ladder House is in the city of Los Angeles. It's actually at 1745 West Vernon Avenue in the city of Los Angeles. And this is a man of God that God has given an awesome vision for restoring virtue by way of the Word of God through kingdom building and through God's truth. This is an anointed ministry, and I'm just amazed at how the anointing that's on this ministry is flowing through all of those that are rightfully connected to the ministry. And so The Ladder House has expanded to the city of Dallas. We have a network here in the city of Dallas, and we are right now about 10 members strong for the Dallas network. We meet weekly via phone, and we meet once a month live and in person. Dr. Carter for the summer is planning on being here in the city of Dallas at least 3 times a month, and there will be services as well as training hosted in the city of Dallas starting in the month of June. So we're looking forward to that. Also for the month of June, for those that are if you're in the Los Angeles area, there will be a huge Father's Day event that will be hosted on June 19th at the Ladder House at 1745 West Vernon Avenue in the city of Los Angeles. We have a lot of great men of God that will be coming out and sharing with us on that day. So we're excited about that. And I guess the key things I want to announce is we have RAIN, Women Who Win, that will be launched in the month of July in the city of Dallas, and we are looking for 25 women to connect with us for our first session. And this is a group for maturing women who win, and the purpose of this is to build women at every level in life and mentor them up to the next level. So this is about sisterhood. This is about networking, partnership, just being the whole woman. And so this is a vision also that was given to Dr. Carter. So we're very excited about Women Who Win. And this is for all women for all walks of life, and it's open to women who are the ages from 18 through 100. If you know somebody over 100, we will accept them in too. But we want women from all walks of life, a very diversified group of women, to just come in to help us be the best that we can be in our homes, in our community, as well as in kingdom building. So that's just a brief synopsis of what we have going on right now, and we're very excited about it. Also, every Monday through Friday at 8 o'clock, if you're in the Dallas area, at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, a.m. Central Standard Time, there's our morning New Day prayer call. And so for every morning from 8 o'clock at 8 o'clock a.m., normally from 8 to 9, and sometimes we go over if the Spirit meets us there, there's a prayer call where you can call in, you can log your prayer request, and you can get a good word before you start your day. And so that is something else that is very key that's happening here in the city of Dallas. If you would like more information or the prayer call login, you can send information to the thelhnetwork@gmail.com. Again, that's thelhnetwork@gmail.com. And just request information, and we'll send you the information packet about the Ladder House, about the efforts that are going on in the city of Dallas, how you can partner, how you can sow into the ministry, and how can you connect with the prayer call in the Bible study that's hosted online via the phone line. So, again, Sister Lewis, we thank God for you. We thank God for Sister Beverly and the awesome job that is being done through my sister, my friend, here in the city of Dallas. And that pretty much sums up what we have going on right now.
Amen. Thank you so much, Minister Randall. And also, I want to echo an amen to the awesomeness of the prayer call each morning from 8 until you need to go to the lhnetwork.gmail.com, right? Okay.
Yes.
And learn out more information on how to get to it, because it has been a blessing to me. It helps me throughout the rest of my day. God blesses it every morning. And the man of God, Dr. Shelton Carter, is an awesome, anointed man of God. So tune in on Monday through Friday mornings and get yourself some, because it will certainly help you. It will certainly carry you through. And it will put a little anointing on you for your day, okay? For those
Amen.
Of you listening. I would also like to announce that there will be a dance camp given by M&Z's Summer Dance Camp. Offers a variety of enjoyable activities designed for the campers to learn a variety of dance styles. These are for ages 7 to 18. You will be learning hip-hop dance, liturgical dance, mime dance, June the 10th through August 19th, every Friday from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Registration is June 3rd, 2016 at 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the Southside City Church at 2100 West Loudon Street in Fort Worth, Texas. My friend Janae Hunter is over this, and we'll have extra fun activities, Bible study, field trips, games, arts and crafts, showcases, and much, much more. There will be free lunch and snack, $50 each per month per child, and save $10 if you register on the 2nd. Also, there will be a group session called Prep and Prime by Janae Hunter. Hashtag Flawless 2016 topic, budgeting, lifestyle management, spirit health, and more. Saturday, June 18th, 2016 at 11 a.m. at the Southside City Church at 2100 West Loudoun Street, Fort Worth, Texas. The guest speakers will be Minister Coletta Govan, Minister Zarita Hill, and co-pastor Yolanda Butler. There will be vendors, food, games, and more. If you ladies out there have some announcements that you need me to tell the world about, just call me and let me know, and we will announce. And also, I'm going to put Mr. Rand on the spot right now. She will be ministering on Saturday at the Hope in Christ. And it will be from, is it 10 a.m., Sister Minister Randall?
Sister Lewis, that's not me. Everyone was pinging me today asking.
You're not you?
No, I think it's another Randall. We met her when we were there for the breast cancer awareness seminar, and she was a young lady.
That is right.
Everyone was saying, can you pick me up Saturday? I'm like, what are y'all talking about? And then I got to
okay.
know. But it's the other Randall.
That is, Minister, you are right. Her name is missing me right now, but she is Minister Randall, and I don't even know why. But the hold
You're
on,
not the
let
first.
Me find. Okay. I need to find the thingy. Oh, there it is. Yeah, okay, here we go. I got it right here. Standing on His Promises, Hope of Glory Fellowship, Saturday, May 28th, 2016 at 10 a.m. Standing on His Promises, free one-day women's conference. The promises of God are yes in Christ and Jesus, we say amen. Yes, that is her. She is Minister Randall also. Let me see. A Women's Conference. That is. So if you're free, just go to Hope and Glory, Hope in Christ, and join the ladies there. Okay?
Amen.
Excuse me for the mishap, the mistake. We got these very powerful women of God with their last name Randall. Say they that must mean something. Okay, but that's where we'll be on Saturday morning. So God bless each of you, Mr. Randall. If you don't mind, as usual, will you please close us out with a prayer?
Amen. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to share your word. We thank you for the spirit of truth that has come upon your people in this season, Father. As we walk in this realm, God, in your glory, the season of the open door, Father, we ask that you give us the commitment, the confidence, the courage to know that we are conquerors. And, Father, we must understand that we must continue to go forward, and we refuse to give up. We refuse to back up. We refuse to shut up. We refuse to be held up, Father, until we have stood up, lined up, read up, prayed up, confessed up, stored up, spoke up, looked up, and filled up everything that you want us to give, you want to give to us, Father. So today, Father, we magnify your name, and we claim our mountain, and we want our mountain today, Father. And we thank you for equipping us. We ask you to continue to bless Sister Beverly, Lord. We ask you to touch her tonight from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet, Lord. And we know that you are not only a doctor, but you are a healer, Lord. And we ask you to restore the years that the locusts have eaten, Lord, and the cankerworms have come against, Lord, and that our latter days will be greater than our former days, Father. God, we ask you to unify our families, God. We ask you to cover us with your blood and send your ministry angels now to minister those who are in need, Father. We ask you to bless every ministry that's connected. We ask you to go unto Hope of Glory tonight, God, and go ahead and set the atmosphere to do what you do so well when they enter on Saturday morning. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. We look at every man and woman of God that is serving you and seeking you, every man, every woman, every child, Lord. We thank you for this day. that your kingdom has come, and we know that your will be done. We declare it today on earth as it is in heaven. And those things that you settled in the heavens, Lord, we settle them on earth today, and we take victory over them. We take dominion over them now. In your Son, Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
And amen. Thank you, ma'am. And just to clarify, it's Sherry Randall. I'm sorry, listening audience. Her name is the Minister Sherry Randall. So
amen.
We have two powerful Randall women that we are in cahoots with. So God bless you and God keep you, Minister Randall, until we talk in the morning.
God bless you. Love you all.
God bless you. Thank you. Good night.